I believe that's what the Lord is wanting to do here this day. He wants to open up a door that has been closed to you, maybe for a short while, a long time. The Bible says that there, once the Lord closes the door, no man can open it. But it also says once the Lord opens the door, no man can close it. And I believe what the Lord is wanting to do here this day is maybe closing some doors that need to be closed and opening up some very important doors that need to be opened up by the Lord Himself. Amen. And I believe through the service today, as the word goes forth, it's going to become that lamp before your feet, and it's going to bring a direction to your life of the Lord opening a door. But I believe sometimes it takes the Lord to open the door, but I believe sometimes He leaves it to us to close some doors. The Lord is going to speak here this morning. He's present. The Lord is growing the church right now with a bunch of people that shouldn't be in church right now. In other words, He opened doors, He closed doors in order for us to be here. We didn't get here on our own power. Somebody might have invited you. You might have tugged your husband, your wife. Let's go to church today. But in the midst of it all, the Lord was behind it all. Because there's some doors that I know He wants open. And that's the church doors. Amen. I want you to put the picture real quick on what I'm going to be speaking about here this day. This is the title of the message right now. This is the title of the message here this morning. It's going to be a very simple message, but it has dynamic power if you choose to apply it and to allow the house of God, the temple of God, to mean a lot to your life, than more so than just the building here with the heater on. God's plan is the church. God's plan for the early church was the church. God's plan for the end times that we're living in right now, once again, is still the church. It is God's plan. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. You being here this morning is part of God's plan that He's putting together right now, one life at a time, to save those that are still outside the walls of the church. Amen. In getting saved. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Worship team, you may have your seats. And you may have your seat as well. I want to thank everyone for being here on this beautiful, getting close to winter day. Amen. I want to thank all those viewing online right now for being with us, attending with us here, the morning service. Amen. I thank you all for being online and being part of the church. Amen. If everything's okay with you, though, I expect you here next Sunday. Amen. Amen. But there's some that are viewing on with good reasons why not to be here. Amen. So the online is just another extension of the Lord allowing people still to tap into the service that cannot make it. Amen. So, once again, I'm real happy for the Run for Hope went really good here in our church. Amen. Let's give ourselves a good clap offering. Amen. We went beyond the goal we're supposed to reach. And the goal for our church was 10,000 that was assigned to us by the region, our regional pastor, Nick Walker. But all the churches and the bigger churches had to bring in much more money than 10,000. And all corporately, all around the world. In Africa, London, my daughter's in Europe, amen. She's out there in Amsterdam, all over the world. You know, last year it was 4 or 5 million that came in. Amen. But the only way that happened was by everybody doing their part and coming together to be able to accomplish, amen, taking care of the mission fields and the churches that are being strategized right now, amen. Pastor Nick said at the last regional we were at in Chicago, you know, he mentioned the Florida Orlando church that Pastor Felipe and Sister Lily are going to be getting sent to that are from our church, amen. They're there helping Pastor Jamie that we sent from here, along with his beautiful wife, Sister Tammy, there in Jacksonville, Florida. Amen. So we're sending our best people. We're not keeping them. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm not your best? Get ready. I might just send you too. Amen. I might just send you too. Amen. But once again, it's an honor to have everybody here this day. Amen. Once again, the title of this morning's message is God's Plan, the Church. Amen. Those ain't my hands up there. Those are God's hands. Amen. He's Mexican. That's why they're light brown. Amen. Nah, he's not. He's whatever you want him to be. Amen. He's going to become whatever you need him to be here this day. Amen. As we go to opening scripture here this day, found in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13, I'm going to be speaking about something, a topic that takes place in our everyday life, whether we're having a good day or a bad day, whether we're doing what we're supposed to be doing or doing what we're not supposed to be doing. This topic I'm going to be sharing on today deals with all of us. Amen. As we read Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul speaking. Amen. It says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters," talking to the believers here this day. And then he goes on to say, "But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you once again for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your presence, to hear your word, to carry forth your word, and to see what you want to do through your plan, the church, here this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord another good clap offering here this day. "For you have been called to live in freedom." I have a question here this day. How many have been set free? How many have been saved? Amen? Amen? How many of you have been set free and have been saved? But you know your pastor a little bit better. You know I got a second question that follows that first one. And the second question is, how many can say that you're living in freedom? Not just saved. But how many can testify here this day that you're living a life in freedom? That God has predestined for your life and my life, even before his son hit the cross. Amen. The Lord saw your condition, my condition, and says, through my grace and mercy, through the works of my son at the cross, I'm going to bring him victory. I'm going to bring her victory that she ain't even aware of. And I want to speak here this day, not just being about being saved, but living a life of victory, living a life in freedom that comes every day of the week, not just on Sunday for the hour or two that we find ourselves here at church, But every day of the week, to live a life in freedom because of what the Lord has done for each and every one of our lives. Verse 17 tells us, it's going to give us a breakdown here this day, man. And remember, whether you're doing good, not too good, really bad, whether you're saved, not saved, no matter where you're at today, no matter where the pastor's at today, the topic I want to speak about here this day applies to all of us. Applies to all of us. And in verse 17, the Bible reads, the sinful nature wants to do evil. How many know you can be saved and that sinful nature is always knocking? The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. So we have a problem here. The Spirit ain't flowing, amen, with the nature of evil, and the nature of evil ain't about to flow with the Spirit of God. There's two opposites here taking place. One is wanting to fulfill the sinful desires of evil, and the other one is wanting to fulfill the desires of the Spirit. And that's why you might feel like you're in a battle here this day. Even when you're doing what is right, this is the reason you feel this inner battle, waging this war within your life, because there's a battle taking place by the sinful nature and the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I want to let you know, it just don't take place on Monday, getting up to go to work. Let's continue to read. And the Bible goes on to say, and the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. I want you to catch this next part. These two forces, they're both called forces here. In other words, they both got power. They both have power. They're forces. These two forces are constantly, keyword, fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. If we keep it real here this day, how many can testify that inwardly within your life there's a constant battle taking place, frustration of feeling that you ain't where you should be at, feeling this way about your wife one day, another way about your wife the next day. One day you feel this way about your husband, the next day it's totally opposite of what you think about your husband. Because there's a battle that is taking place within each and every one of our lives constantly, fighting one another. And that's why it's so important here this day to have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's very important. I'm going to get ahead of the message, so I'm just going to follow a little bit of notes for a little bit. The sinful nature wants to do evil. It's constantly speaking, at times it sounds as a truth, but constantly speaking this lie in your life. Then the Spirit of the Lord is, we don't do that no more. Come on, you can do it. She's doing it. He's doing it. We don't do that no more. And this tug of war is taking place within one's life, wanting to do the right thing. And I believe we're all here this Sunday morning Because we're wanting to do the right things, make the right moves, fulfill the desires of the Spirit of the Lord within our lives. There's a struggle. There's this constant battle taking place that some of you says, man, I got to go to church today. And now you're reading from God's word of what this battle, this frustration that's constantly moving within your life and what it is. I'm giving you the answer what it is right now. We need to know that the sinful nature of your life and my life don't need to break the law, amen, to partake in it. There's a lot of things that the enemy uses that's law-abiding. We need to know that the sinful nature does not always break the law. In verse 19, Paul writes a list of 15 topics that we all face on a daily basis here. And here's what he says in verse 19. He says, when you follow. How many have ever followed the desires of your sinful nature? Amen? So Paul goes on to say, when you do, this is what you can expect. The results are very clear, Paul says. It's not a gray area. Amen? There's a line drawn. And Paul says the results to this sinful nature are very clear. In other words, you can be saved for a week and know why you're in the condition you're in and have the revelation. Amen. It's very clear, Paul says. The first one is sexual immorality. The next one's impurity. The next one is lustful pleasures. As we continue, next verse, please. The sinful nature wants to do evil. Huh, let me see here. 20. Kindly please. I know I didn't. Thank you for telling everybody. You're such a sweetheart, Connie. We're going to let all Facebook know also. All around the world. She said, you didn't give me number 20. I was trying to act polished right now. You killed it. I'm going Southside right now. I'm ready to go Southside now. My God. I'm going to stay in spirit, church. I'll deal with Connie after the service. She dealt with me in front of all. I'm at least going to do it confidentially in my office because I've grown a little bit. Let's go on to the next one. The next one is adultery, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, Connie. But I'm in spirit, I'm not going to quarrel. I'm just going to get even. That's it. The next one is jealousy. Who's ever been jealous? Who's jealous right now? It's clear. To see, Paul says, outbursts of anger. Now, I could have let that one take place when Connie went there, but I said, not today. Outbursts, who's ever had outbursts of anger? Or you've been saved a while now and you always have inbursts of angers. How many have ever had it? Yeah, Alberto Lynn right there. We're pulling names today. Inbursts of anger. You know, you've gotten some victories and now you don't let everybody hear it, but inside you still say it. Selfish ambition. dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. So I like the NLT translation. And other sins like these. I don't want to read that last little part, but I'm going to read it. Amen? Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ouch! Now you know why I wanted to leave that part out. Here, Paul lists 15 topics of the outcome when we follow our sinful nature. This is what you can expect to happen. Amen? Not one of the 15 can take you to jail. Jerome's saying, oh, it's drugs. She's a crackhead, a heroin addict. It's drugs, alcohol. Nah, the enemy's craftier than that. That's why there's only so many in the rehab and a lot more in the church. The enemy likes using topics and situations that you can partake in and not have to go to jail. I'm speaking about God's plan, the church. I'm speaking about getting to a place where you can live in freedom no matter what's taking place within you, no matter what's taking place around you, no matter what the Spirit of the Lord is doing, or no matter what the sinful nature of our desires of wanting to sin is doing. I want to let you know that this day, God wants His sons and daughters to have victory, to live in freedom for what He's already done through His Son at the cross of Calvary. And there we've read it already, but I go, you can partake of these 15 areas and not go to jail, but still remove the freedom that the Lord has called us to live in. In other words, we're all obviously that are here today, not in jail, but could you be spiritually locked up here today? You're in the hole on lockdown. You can't even have visitors, don't want visitors. You're spiritually locked up right now. Even though you have salvation, even though you've given your life to the Lord, there's still those continually things taking place in your life that the enemy's using to try to weaken you just to go back to Him. These inner struggles taking place in your life that the Spirit of the Lord is using to strengthen you and for you to be an example, a model to your brothers and sisters, that you can live in freedom, that you can have the victory even with these continual inner struggles taking place within your life. Question, how many have good intentions in serving in the church and doing it God's way? Because at the end of verse 17, the Bible says, is it in this one? Yes, it is. Desires that the opposite of what the sinful nature does. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free. to carry out your good intentions. I was in prison and I had good intentions. I just couldn't carry them out. I got out of prison the first time and I said, I'm never going back to addiction again. Ever, 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 I promise, Mom and Dad. And though I had good intentions, because I was living a sinful life, I was not able to carry out my good intentions that were in my life because the Lord created my life. You need to know here this day that the Lord created your life with good intentions of you having the victory, of you being able to live in freedom. And if there was somebody that would say this was impossible, it should have been Paul. Paul was a chief sinner, going the wrong way, the persecutor of the early church. But then something happened within his life. The opposite thing of what he was doing. He was now led of the Spirit and able to write in victory, able to speak on living in freedom because of God's grace and mercy in operation within his life. I spoke last Sunday on some pivotal things that took place in my early salvation while I was in Victor Alvarez, Salinas, California, that has me here 25 years later and still growing in the things of the Lord. I'm not the same man that got here to the city of Milwaukee 20 years ago. My life is still changing and being transformed by the power of God to be able to speak the words that I'm speaking this day to your life. To say that you can make it. To say that no matter what you're going through, as heavy as it may be, that God wants you to live in freedom. And to be able to show others that you can live in freedom. Even when tragedy takes place. Even when it's somebody else's fault and you had nothing to do with it. Even when it feels not fair, why me? Even in those times, in those moments, God is wanting to give you the Spirit to allow you to live in freedom. No matter what takes place. A couple of pivotal things that took place in my early life was when I got up out of prison, I shared with a girl named Magali, a man that I hooked up with. Been locked up for years. She was beautiful. My wife is right here on the second row. Was she ugly? She was beautiful. She was young. She was a college girl going to college to be a doctor. I'm coming out of the prison system. We were exact opposites. And I shared in how I was with her and I was in the church and God had already done something in my life. And as I got saved in the church, fresh out of prison, he was doing something in my life that I didn't understand. That I just couldn't put my finger on it because it was God at work. But good things were taking place in me, not just going to church, but becoming involved in the church. And my first date with Magali, amen, was bringing her to the Victor Outreach Church. And she came, then I introduced her to Pastor Herb. I was a young convert at this time. He said, oh, thank you for introducing her, amen. Praise the Lord. The next Sunday comes, I'm going to pick her up to go to church again. She said, I don't want to go to church. I said, okay, we'll go to your church. And she was going to a Catholic church, amen? So I told Pastor Herb, I'm not going to make it this Sunday. That was the only Sunday in 6 years that I did not make in Victory Outreach, Salinas, California. But nevertheless, I was a young convert. and I held myself accountable, and my pastor knew where I was at. I went to her church. It was a little church and had a lot of Mexican brothers playing the guitar, man. So I left. We went back home. We're madly in love. Next Sunday comes around, and she says, I don't want to go to your church. Amen. I said, praise the Lord. I'll go pick you up, and we'll go to your church again, right? And she goes, I don't want to go to my church either. I don't want to go to church today. I was, anybody ever said, I don't want to go to church today? So that day, I went to Victory Outreach, went and picked her up, and we're in front of the beach in a beautiful Monterey area there in Northern California, where I would ask her, this is a God moment, a God timing moment, dealing with relationships. I had Spanish worship music playing real softly. I had it all dialed in. Amen? I had been gone to prison, but not that long. Amen? So the atmosphere was right. It was a sunny, beautiful Northern California day. Amen? And I said, Magali, if God was calling me to Africa in 2 years, would you follow me? And if you were here last Sunday, my response would be the same, because the story don't change when it's the truth. And she said, ay, Carlos, because my real name is Carlos. That's Spanish for Charlie. Amen. She goes, ay, Carlos, te quiero tanto. I love you so much. I don't want to lie to you. No te quiero echar una mentira. I don't know what's going to happen 2 years from now. The worship music's still on. The atmosphere's still there. And then I asked her the second question. Magali, 10 years down the line, if God was to call me to Africa, would you follow me? To Mexico, would you follow me? Amen? And she goes, ay, Carlos, I love you so much. Te quiero tanto. No te quiero echar una mentira. I don't want to. I love you so much, Carlos, that I don't want to lie to you. I don't have the answer to what's going to take place 10 years from now. And it was at that moment when that worship, click, got turned off. I didn't know what took place from then on, because she was beautiful. Some of you are saying, that's enough, Pastor. Your wife's going to get led by her sinful desires right now if you say that one more time. So, anyhow, I said, you know what, Magali? From here on out, God hit me on the head with a baseball bat. I would have been dumber than dumb to leave her. He hit me in the head with a baseball bat, and he had to hit me pretty hard, because I had a hard head then. Amen? But even as a young Christian, a young convert, I said, you will not call me no more. I'm not going to call you no more. She says, ay, Carlos, ¿qué te pasa? Oh, Carlos, what's going on? And I said, we can't even, what's the little, we can't even page each other, the pagers back then. No paging. Matter of fact, we cannot even be friends. I drew the line that day, because I wanted to be part of God's plan. Even when I was a young convert, I took her home. I drove the 20, 30 minutes back to Salinas, and I'm dying to call her on the phone. Dying to call her. And there was that waging of the war within my life. Call her, call her. The Spirit of the Lord says, don't call her. She's not the one. Call her, call her. She's beautiful. Don't. Oh, I said it one more time. Don't call her. Don't call her. See, once you've been married for 25 years, you can say stuff like that. I'm not going to give the long version, but in a nutshell, what I'm saying is 8-9 months later, she called me to go pick up rabbits that I gave her. And I went with my sister. She thought I was going alone. And she was thinking about Carlos. Yes, she was. Yes, he was. She finally gave in to her sinful desires and gave me a call, but I went with my sister. She peeked out the curtain of her bedroom and didn't even answer the door. I went and got the rabbits from her mother and all this stuff, and we've never talked to each other ever since. It was a pivotal time in my life where even though she looked like she was the one, it looked like a fit. It was something, I was probably with her 5, 6 months, 7 months, under a year for sure. But then the hottest mama, amen, my wife now, has been my wife now for 25 years. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. It was part of God's plan for me to end up with Marlene instead of Magali. So now all of a sudden, Marlene was the most beautiful woman. Magali didn't have nothing on her. There, women, are you happy? Those viewing online, clean up, a good clean up. It was something that if it wouldn't have taken place, I wouldn't be here right now speaking. I would have probably gone through woman after woman after woman. Let's call it women, because that's who I was at that time. But it was a timing of the Lord. So now I've been with my wife 25 years. The business I had, first line, somebody popping your pen, amen. That's the second time, Louise, we might have to talk afterwards in spirit. You might leave with the desires of the flesh, but I'm going to give it to you in spirit. Amen? My business, when God called me to come to this city through my pastor, I'd already been in my business for 6 years, learned everything. It was the time to make the good money. And then I get a call, fly out tomorrow morning to Milwaukee and come back for your family in 2 weeks. You got it, Pastor. You got it. So it was something, my business wasn't my God. It wasn't an idol. It was something that I was able just to let go of it like I did Magali without thinking about it. And I let go of the business that I had already been in for a little bit under 6 years to be part of God's plan. And now I've been in God's plan's business for 25 years. Amen? Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. And I haven't done nothing else in 25 years but preach the gospel. Though I've done a lot of jobs on the side, my main job is the senior pastor of the Church of Victor Roberts, Milwaukee, that's going to keep growing and keep growing and keep growing, where the evidence will be clear to see that God is looking for a people like you and I, that got a past, that knows what it is to be lost and bound, that knows what it is to be out there, that knows what it is to be in addiction, that knows what it is not putting Christ first, that knows what it is to experience the grace and mercy and why he would even choose a people like you and I to come to church on this beautiful Sunday morning. And I want to give you the third pivotal thing that take place in my life and my wife and the leadership that's here. And the third one is, I put here, my many breakthroughs till this very day. In other words, for 25 years have come by getting involved in the church. My many, many, many breakthroughs on learning how to talk to people. Amen. Learning how to communicate at a greater level, because when I got here, I was not a good communicator. I didn't ask to be a pastor. God called me to be a pastor. And everything has its humble beginnings. Everything has its starting point. And there's a lot here right now listening to me, viewing me online right now, that say, I have good intentions. I have a plan. I got good intentions, but I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't change. Too much has happened.
And even though you have good intentions, you can't carry them out. And you speak to yourself saying, I can't do it. Quick commercial. I had two men. One was Brother Luis and the other one was the director of the rehab home that went to my house to take off a water tank that was in my basement to scrap it, and another tank that was a water softener that you put salt in. And that blue one, they tested how heavy it was. And Luis says, no se puede, pastor. This is way too heavy, because we had to go up the stairs and out the door and all that, right? I said, don't say that. And then this ain't leaving the basement. This is going to stay here. I said, guys. I said, most importantly, you, Jason, what do you mean we're not going to be able to do it? I just messed up my forearm the other day, a couple of months busting concrete out here. It's gotten better, but I don't want to sprain it again, right? So I couldn't be prideful that day if I wanted to, amen? I was using wisdom. I says, guys, ask me why I know this. These two tanks are leaving this basement today. And I says, if somebody brought them down, tells me somebody can take them up. That's my common sense wisdom. Not that my muscles are bigger than theirs, though they are. It was a faith thing. It was a faith situation. Church, I'll let you be the courtroom. Did those two heavy tanks leave the basement?
Yes.
Look at that. The whole church had the answer. They weren't even there. It was too heavy. What's too heavy right now that you're facing? And that blue tank, even though I got it like that, I said, oh, I can't do that. But I'm not going to speak it, though. I said, we're going to have to figure out how to skin that cat. That water tank, that's going out if I got to carry it myself. But that blue tank, boy, that was a miracle blue tank. But lo and behold, when Jason went like that, a little water shot out. So I said, lay that thing down. The drain was there. It was full of water. I says, as we're speaking right now, that tank is getting lighter and lighter and lighter. As I'm speaking right now, your faith should be getting stirred right now to what you're facing that you're saying is too heavy to ever change. Faith is stirring you right now saying it's going to happen. It's going to change. But we need to be in position and we need to be part of the church, get involved in the church to allow the Lord with his almighty power muscles to lift things out of our lives that we can't do on our best day with a pocket full of money, with the prettiest girl, with the best job. There are just some things that are too heavy for you and I to remove from our lives. There's just some things that Tide and bleach can't clean up. There's only some things in your life, in my life, that can only be cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus. And Jason and Louise kind of left the house like this with their tail between their, you know what? And God bless you, Pastor. And I said, you guys better hope God gives me a word for tomorrow. Because if he doesn't, I'm using this. Well, he gave me a word and I still used it. Because before they even tried, they said it was too heavy and that it was not going to work. Now, I could have brought five guys from the rehab, but you got to go up a hallway. Only one at the bottom, one at the top. You can't put five lined up and go up a hallway. Especially when, stand up, Brother Jason. Come on, man, let's testify. Especially when you got a wide load like Brother Jason does. You can sit down. Amen? Next time, use faith, and I'll leave you alone. There was many things when I got saved that there was just no way that they were ever going to leave my life. One was women. Two was marijuana. I loved marijuana back in the days. I said, God, take the heroin, take the cocaine. But man, I if you want to cut a deal with me, women and the marijuana stays. Take it or leave it. I was a hippie, man. Well, God took the women away, took the marijuana away. He took things that I never thought that nobody could convince me and bring me to a place to let it go. What is holding you down that's too heavy, that's not allowing you to carry out the good intentions that God has placed within your life? What's too heavy? I'm going to give you the revelation how to get the heavy out, to allow you to carry the good intentions that the person of the Holy Spirit has placed within your life, of who you're going to be in Christ, what you're going to do in Christ. He gave me my revelation when I was in prison that I was going to be a pastor. Get out of here. Too heavy. Never happen. It'll never work. But I didn't give up. The many breakthroughs till this very day I'm getting breakthrough have come by getting involved in the church. I always stayed involved. You got to listen to the message here this day, because it's for every one of us, whether you're doing good or not good here this morning. I always stayed involved while the two forces were constantly fighting within my life, the sinful nature versus the Spirit. I've seen many people get involved in the church, and these two forces, it's not the church's fault, it's that they are constantly at war with one another. And they're at war within you right now as I'm speaking. You're trying to weigh it out. You're trying to make sense of what I'm saying right now. There's things in your life right now that you wish were not taking place, but you're saying that they're too heavy. You're saying that they just got to stay there. This is the way I was brought up. This is the way my mom and dad was, and this is why I'm like this. It's the Bible calls it a generational curse, Pastor. I'm under a... No, you're not. The Bible says clearly to live in freedom. Just because that's a scripture don't mean it's a true scripture. It's a true scripture of what not to believe and not to follow. You and I are here to break that generational curse. For your children and my children don't have to grow up under a generational curse and be able to use it as an excuse. My mom and dad did it. They're not going to get that excuse off with me and my wife. Because Marlene's the most prettiest girl in the world. I always stayed involved in the church while these forces were constantly at work within my life. I only missed one Sunday in 6 years, and that was to go to Magali's church. Forgot to narrow it down that it wasn't her. What is God narrowing down right now within your life? My staying involved gave advantage to the person of the Holy Spirit to bring freedom to my life. We all know that the person of the Holy Spirit is so much stronger than the sinful nature, but the Lord loves us so much that He gives us freedom of choice to do what's right, to do what's wrong. And we know when we do what's wrong because it's always on the down low. I mean, it's always, I mean, you know, this. I wasn't doing nothing wrong. What are you talking about? We know when we're wrong. We do it in secret. I tell the guys in rehab, whenever you start sneaking around, even with the lights on, it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. My staying involved gave advantage to the person of the Holy Spirit to bring freedom to my life. My many years of staying involved in the church brought opportunity then for me to live in freedom. I've gone to a place now that no matter what's at war, even though it's a constant battle within my life, outside of my life, taking place every day, I know it's part of life. Paul says it real clear. So I know these things are supposed to be taking place, and I'm either going to allow them to weaken me or strengthen me. You got to get it here this day. That what you're facing, amen, everyone's facing things right now that is too heavy. And what is too heavy for you may not be too heavy for the next brother or sister, vice versa. But we all have those too heavy of areas within our lives that we are so convinced that not even God will ever be able to change them, because they're so ingrained in our life and in our thinking. Getting involved in the church is your opportunity to live in freedom. I believe some I put here have been praying to God, show me, God, what you want me to do. You're at a place in your life right now that you know you're not living at the altitude, the capacity that you should be living in. So we get religious and we say, Lord, show me what you want to do. What's the answer? The answer is, God's answer to you and to all of us is get involved in the church. Have you tried that one? He's saying right now, he's saying, have you tried? Or are you just always one that comes to hear the word? Get involved in the church. It's God's plan. Amen? It's God's plan. I put here one little note before I came up. I put, God's answer will always be God's plan. God's answer for your life and my life will always be God's plan. It ain't gonna be your plan. Even no matter how good the idea is, and you put Jesus in the sentence. God's answer will always be God's plan. But we're always like, when I first got saved, okay, I'll do that, but leave that marijuana alone, leave the women alone. I was trying to cut a deal. I have a question here this day. Have you ever stopped to think that you may be missing out on God's best for your life by simply not getting involved in the church? I've tried everything, Pastor. Oh, no, you haven't. I felt like saying over and over and over again. I've tried everything, Pastor, no matter what I do, I just can't get the victory. There's no way my life is just going to end up like this. My life will never change. So I'll make it to church when I can, Pastor. But this is the poor life I got to live. The poor me life. The two forces of the spirit and the sinful nature will always be constantly fighting one another in your life. I put here, whether you get involved with the church or not, because I've seen many leave the church just to find that constant battle is still taking place. It becomes 10 times worse according to Scripture. So many people come back to the church thinking that inner struggle, that constant war of the sinful nature versus the spirit. By leaving the church, you're going to have that victory. Ain't happening. Ain't happening. The two forces of the spirit and the sinful nature will always be constantly fighting one another. How did Paul know what he was talking about? He firsthand experienced, even now that he was doing good, that inner war was taking place within his life. He says, the things I want to do are the things I don't do, and the things I don't want to do are the things I do. That's found in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Let's go there. If you can go there, Connie, please. Do it quick and you'll have no counseling session afterwards. 7:14. She's buying time when she repeated that. She's getting good. The Bible says, so the trouble is not with the law, but for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. Next one, please. She's not going to have it because these are not on the notes. Can you give me 15, please? I don't really understand myself for what I want to do, what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Give me 16. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. Give me 17. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. Give me 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. This is Paul writing. This is Paul speaking about Paul himself. The great apostle Paul speaking. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I eventually do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power. Today's word is force. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And this is getting to the end. It says, oh, what a miserable person I am. How many have ever been miserable doing the right thing? I live that. That's the life I live. Sometimes I... But I've learned the poker face. I've learned still to be kind. Me and my wife have a little argument. I ain't going to take it out on you guys. It's between me and her. Or should I say, if my wife has an argument with me. Or, yeah, today's, she might have an argument. So we got to learn how to operate, because all these verses that we've been reading, amen, in Galatians is... what Paul was really dealing with people quarreling and fighting with one another. That's what all the reading of today, it's everything he was saying. I've been trying to stay away from that because then, oh man, he's talking about me. I am. For you can live to learn to live in freedom. Well, what Paul was trying to silence in the church was the believers fighting amongst one another. I'll try my best. I was going to use this. See if I can find. So I always bring my Bible up here. Oh, I think I found it. Yeah. Nope.
Let's go there. We need to say that in the world, right? You want to go there? Yeah, we're going to go there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible reads, I didn't give her that, so she's taking a minute. I didn't give that verse to them. Galatians 5, verse 15. God's plan, the church. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. That is the sentence right now with all the writing of Paul, which you're getting here today. I didn't want to bring that one out, but I did. Amen? Equally dividing the whole word of God. And because I'll be held accountable when I get home. Then my wife just might win that match. And so here we find out that these two forces are working. And whether you get involved with the church or not, there's no way around that. These two forces that work within your life. Whether you come to church or not, whether you get involved with the church or not, these forces, Paul says, are constantly at war with one another. Amen? Those are, it's a fact that you and I can't change. There's no way around that. When Grandpa gets mad at me and my wife, he says, one way or another, it's going to change, he says. When he says that, that's his last line when Grandpa says, one way or another. One way or another, he says. But I put here, but there is a way around either having victory or being defeated. There may not be a way around this constant frustration, tug of war taking place in your life. There's no way around that when it takes place in all our lives. Whether you're on the mountaintop, in the valley, amen, lost and bound. There's no way around that one. But there is a way around whether you want a life of victory or a life that's always defeated. In Galatians 5:16, get ready to close. The Bible says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And I put here, one of the best ways the person of the Holy Spirit guides is through the church, getting involved in the church. You know why? It's not so much this building, but this church, you and I, we are the body of Christ. And outside the body of Christ, you will never, ever get victory. You're not that good. I go, there's no way to be, last Sunday the title was All In. I'm all in. Because I know we got some all-in people here. We just got to get all in Christ. Amen. So I have a point here this day in closing. There's no way to be all in outside of the church. No way. You can't pull it off. God has designed the church for us to get involved, to grow in learning how to love one another. It starts off rough and tough and suck 'em and all that. But it's created for you and I to grow with one another in love. Because if we can't love one another, we're not going to love those that are still lost and bound. And here Paul was speaking to the brothers and the sisters of the church. He saw what was going on. He remembers who he was. And he knows that it's possible for you to live a life. Amen. For you to live a life in the freedom of Christ. All of the 15 different topics Paul wrote in verse 19 takes getting involved. All the
immorality, the sexual and the impurities and all that list of 15, all those, even though they won't take you to jail, they all take for you to get involved. See, you to get with someone, it takes involvement. So what Christ is saying here this day, amen, is for us to be led of the Spirit. And that you can have victory within your life. If we were able to be led of the sinful nature, that was clear for everybody to see that you were lost and bound. My mom, my dad knew I was lost and bound 3,500 miles away from Texas, and I was in California. They knew I was lost and bound simply by what my brothers and sisters were saying about me. Charlie this, Charlie that, Charlie this, Charlie now is in prison again. The second Charlie this, Charlie that. It was always a bad report. It was clear for them to see that my life was being led of the sinful nature. But then I got saved. Then I got involved in the church. And the phone calls from my brother and many sisters would now still be going to mom and dad. But they would start saying something like, you ain't gonna believe it, but Charlie's saved. You ain't gonna believe it, but Charlie's at a church now. You ain't gonna believe it. And my dad believed it. My mom said, nah, he's working an angle. He working another angle. I don't believe it. And then another year went by, and another year went by. My brothers and sisters' report kept saying, hey, mom, dad, Charlie's changing. I seen him in person. Charlie is changing. Charlie is no longer the same person. God is changing his life. And I was the director of the rehab. And every report for years and years and years, every report from my brother and my sisters to my parents was a good, godly report, and how good my life was doing, that I was transformed by the power of God. And even though I was freshly married 25 years ago, had little babies that I didn't know what to do with, amen, I learned how to live in freedom because I got involved with the church knowing nothing. My brothers and sisters, I still counsel them. They said they're all college grads. And they call me for insight. Because I'm not just being clean and sober for 25 years. I've grown spiritually in the wisdom and the love and the agape, unconditional love of the Lord. And I've never said it's too heavy. I never said it's heavy. Skip this church. We've gone through some hard times. I've never said that. Never said that. I've never said, God, what you've given me to do is too heavy. I always say, if God allows it to take place, you're going to have to learn how to accept it. There's some things that God allows to take place. They're not right, and maybe never makes sense to you. But anytime the enemy attacks, he has to ask permission to the Father, like in the case of in the life of Job. Whatever the Lord has allowed to take place, learn to receive it. And place your life to live in freedom no matter what has taken place. Because it's bad enough of what might have taken place to now take place in your life, in my life. And let the enemy continue to have victory upon victory upon victory upon victory. Instead of saying, no, no. God is good. God is faithful. Everything he does is perfect. If he allowed it, as hard as it is, I'm going to receive it. I'm going to receive it. There's something he's wanting to do that's even greater than what I'm experiencing right now. All that sexual immorality, I was with all the girls in the clubs, the prettiest ones in there. And then my addiction came strong, and then I was with all the prostitutes. And this sexual immorality, this sexual desires to be then with all the girls and stuff was really strong within my life. But God placed it there. God placed it there for me to get with a woman, which is called my beautiful, beautiful, beautiful wife. To be able to have an opportunity to experience love that I would have never got from a club girl or a prostitute. But to be 25 years married to my wife, in love with my wife, and the sexual desires that God placed within my life to allow them to bring an opportunity to my life to be able to love at a level, at an altitude that I never could before. And for it to bring the desires of my heart to give to one woman till death do me part. You see, those things that, those 15 topics, some of them are good ones. It's just that we give it to the work of the enemy. We allow them to deceive us. But here this day as we stand, I hate to break the news, but there's just no way around of always feeling just great, like Tony the Tiger. Great. That's an old Frosted Flakes commercial. You got to be at least 50 and older to get that one. Tony the Tiger. Don't get bummed out because you ain't feeling great all the time. Too many times we expect if we go to church and get saved, we're supposed to feel good all the time. That's not good Bible. That's bad Bible right there. But there's a lot of mountaintop experiences in being a Christian. Being in position, getting involved with the church to be able to bring forth the lost and the bound. I'm excited right now. Why? Because I know this place is going to pack out. And when I say pack out, it's not to say, well, we got this many people in the church. When I say it's how many SOS, salvation of souls, that are going to be taking place. Packed out, so we have evangelism. There'll be a mob going through the hood. Of what Christ is, just a bigger, bigger proof and evidence of what Christ is able to do in a man's life, in a woman's life, that at one time couldn't get nothing right. Tell your neighbor it's not too heavy. It's not too heavy. At least not for God. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. Whatever the song is, love. God's wanting to remove what you think is impossible to be removed. God's wanting to remove because He's able. Because He's able. I know you're convinced. I was convinced also. But God proved me wrong. He proved me wrong. Bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Even the things that you think are too heavy, even for God to remove. He removed the stone at the grave of His very own Son. Whoa! We all got something that we think is too heavy, that'll never change, that'll never be removed from our lives. Oh, I want to let you know that that is not the gospel. that says God is able to do all things. Struggle. It's okay. It's okay. That constant struggle is a reminder that we need Jesus every day, not just on Sunday, but every day. Oh, come alive, people. Come alive. Come alive. Come alive. That constant struggle is simply a reminder that we need Jesus every day, every moment, that we belong to Him and no one else. Come alive, come alive. Get involved in the church. Challenge here this day. I'm convinced that if I could do it, you can do it also.